Would you entertain that name just for a little longer? Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, blessed Savior.
Anybody know that He is worthy? Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I'm singing glory. Glory. In all things, give Him glory. Jesus, stay right there. Stay right there. Jesus, oh Jesus, keep singing at church. Jesus. Jesus, the more you say it, the better you feel. Jesus, He's worthy, isn't He? Jesus, demons tremble at the name of what? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, church, sing Jesus. His name is worthy. Blessed Savior, oh, He is worthy to be praised.
I didn't mean to do that. The last few months, this quarter, you know that we've been discussing going deeper. Now, if you had not noticed that game that you just played towards the end, Minister West, thank you. He asked a question in which he said, do you believe that you can be used and that God can use you in His service despite your flaws? Now, I know there are many of us who may believe, or at least a few small selection of us that may believe we are perfect and got it all together. And when we walk into this place, we want people to think that we've never sinned. But the Bible says, as Minister West said, and it never changes, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know everybody in here has sinned. So the question that he asked was, do you believe that even as a sinner, you can still be used in God's kingdom? I hope that you know that you can. And as we begin, or as we continue at least to go deeper, I wanted to make sure that you know that you can be used in His kingdom. That we are mere vessels. And that is what 2 Corinthians, according to Paul in the 4th chapter, writes. Now, traditionally, I try to read short passages so that the youth and young adults can follow along and that I don't put them to sleep. But I want to read the entire fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So if you would follow along with me, just because I feel old-fashioned today, I wanted to read from the King James Version. Now, thank you, Walter. I appreciate that. So if you're there, would you turn in your or on your devices or in your Bibles? The words will also be on the screens. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter in its entirety. It reads, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not." That's talking about the devil. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake," or Jesus' sake. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies, in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Two more verses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to hang out in the first few verses of the fourth chapter. When he says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity to hear from you. We pray now that you would remove this human feature and speak boldly into the hearts of your children. God, we seek to hear a word from you and not from a man. Speak and use me. clean me up so that I may stand justly to speak in this moment. Bless us in this time and in the moments to come through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I want to talk this morning about our light supply. I know that we are already behind time, so allow me to rush. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and maneuver the first few pages out of the way so that we can get to it. Beloved, this morning, someone here, whether you're under the sound of my voice in person or whether you are listening online, is dealing with something, or you have dealt with something, good or bad. We all have things that we've gone through, and we all seek something greater than ourselves. Someone here today has had it rough, and your pastor, the members and clergy of this church are telling you to go deeper, but as many of us have before, you have lost something on the inside. Your passion, your drive, your witness, your power, your confidence is gone. It is shattered. It's worn out. It is depleted. And I've come to let you know this morning that there is a power supply, a power source, a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. And first, you need to reconnect with the light. That is, you need to reconnect with Jesus Christ. That is the message of Christ, the gospel anthem, if you would. First, you need to reconnect to him. You need to also read and get to know the word of God. But secondly, you need to plug back into the supply. Did you hear me this morning? You need to plug back into the supply. That is, if you are seeking the radiant and everlasting grace and freedom of the word of God, God is the way to go. In this post-pandemic, post-human, humorous, and post-Christian world, someone here needs and comes beckoning to their faith community this morning, asking, where is Jesus? In this world in which we are living, where are the believers? Where is the truth? And you are seeking a supply source of light. You are seeking the radiant and everlasting grace and freedom of the word of God. And I'm meddling in your business this morning just to tell you that you have a light supply. The light is the gospel, and the supply is God. I know what it's like to depend upon your own source, your own supply. And I learned, now, if y'all don't mind, let me just give you a quick insight to my life. Now, I grew up in a small community, in a small church, historic and surely impactful, but small nevertheless. And in that small church, over 18 years ago, this past week, a young boy, myself, would confess that he has been called to the ministry. 18 years. It's crazy. Because that little boy still feels a little on the inside. And that young man who would go on to become this proclaimer of the gospel thought that he had it all together, thought that he knew what he was talking about. My grandmother said, your head is getting too big for your body. And even though she did produce all these spears heads, I digress. She knows a little bit something or a little something about my personality. And that is, you can tell me something, but you can't tell me too much. Hey, listen, y'all don't have to admit about yourselves, but I don't mind talking about myself. And so as I begin to kind of grow into, you know, who I am as a human being, as a person, I heard a little kid say that to me this week, and it was so funny. And as I was growing, I had many accolades in school, right? I'd I became from this little gospel church singer to an outstanding performer at State, where only 300 students across the state, over 15,000 musicians would get that title. I know what it's like to have accolades. Whenever I got to undergrad, I got awards. My groups that I got to find and found, just like Walter with the gospel choir at, what's that school? It don't matter. That would go on to start choirs. I did the same thing. And here's the fact of the matter. It was one day, a very special day, where this guy who had depended upon words became speechless. Y'all want to know what day it was? I waited outside in a hot sun, and I was preparing to ask my wife to marry me. And as I stood there, and my friend, family and friends were around the corner waiting, I would walk into the house, I would open the box, and I couldn't get anything out. I realized then that this person who had words for everything had no words at that moment. It was the first time that I'd really felt speechless. Now, I did go on to say, would you marry me? But nobody could hear it, and I think she already knew that I was asking, so she just said yes. And I knew that she would say yes. I don't know why I was so afraid. She'd been asking me to get a ring, but I decided that I was going to sit there anyway. Here's the thing. I learned that the place of confidence that I'd always spoken from had run dry. Because there is a moment where your supply, your strength, the source of where you gain from your human abilities runs dry. And you need to tap into something greater. You may have never been there, but if you just keep living a little while, you'll find out that you don't have strength to make it through every situation without God. You'll learn that if you keep living a little while, you're going to need somebody, something, this great God to intercede for you. And in this moment, I'm telling you that supply is God. Your source of light is found in verses 1-6. Paul's ministry had been on the rocks. Could I give you a little nugget according to the text? You'll find out when Paul says in chapter 4, listen to how he words it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It wasn't a turn of phrase. It wasn't there accidentally. The people that Paul were talking to did not want to hear the gospel according to Paul because they believed that Paul's gospel belonged to the aristocracy. They believed that it went to this high and spiritually minded people. And they believed that the gospel fell short of reaching them. Now, I just want to say for those of you here that have worked hard all of your life, you have been pushing and you have been doing everything that you can to secure the bag. You have done everything that you can to build your business, build your wealth, raise your children right. You come into church and then sometimes people look at you like, well, why you drive that car and why you put on that jewelry and why you have that bag and that purse. And let me tell you, it's not your gospel or the things that you have that circumvents the gospel. The issue is with them. There's something wrong with people who believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ makes you poor. There's something wrong that with people who believe that as you serve this great God, you're supposed to always remain lowly and you're all supposed to be very humble of heart. I'm not talking about you're not supposed to be humble. You should always be humble. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes. But I'm saying you should not be embarrassed of the things that God has blessed you with. And Paul says, listen, the gospel has been hid because there's something greater working in them out in the world. And he says those things that are working against them is the forces of evil. It's not you, it's not your money, it's not your job, it's not your titles, it's the devil that's keeping people's minds closed. So keep working. Keep accumulating your wealth. Keep continuing to make sure you build a legacy for your family. It's important, and God has blessed you with it. But he says, a part of this great gospel that he's preaching, there's a source that it comes from. And we as people, as Christians, need to plug into that source. When we allow our lights to shine in the darkness, know that that source of light comes from God. Are you with me this morning? Our source, our strength, our supply comes from God. Here's the thing. We have to be encouraged to recognize God as the ultimate source. Every time you go home, you turn on your lights, you turn on a lamp in the room, that light is plugged into a supply. Every time you go into your restroom and you turn on that little fan, y'all catch that when you go home, that is plugged into a supply. Every time you get into your car and you turn on that engine, that battery keeps the car going. That is a supply. And for those of you who are old-fashioned and you were raised in a home like my grandmother, who had this little lamp oil that she would keep on her dressers just in case the lights went out, I'm telling you, even that lamp was supplied by the oil. It could not burn long without the oil. You need to plug in to your light supply. As we go deeper, we cannot do it without our supply. Here's the second point, and I'm almost done. We also must recognize the fragility of the vessel. We are fragile. And as we begin to go deeper, our bodies, our minds, our spirits get tired. And so the thing in which we are plugging into gives us strength, but it doesn't take away from this earthen vessel, this clay pot. Paul calls it. Now, in the text, when Paul talks about clay, he's talking about this fragile pot. What is cool about what Paul is talking about is that these people would put their treasures in clay pots, and then they would bury them. After they were buried, and if they wanted that treasure, they would go and dig it up. They would have to break the pot into pieces. It was fragile, but it held a treasure. And us today, we know something about being fragile, don't we? We know something about being struck down but not destroyed. We know what it means to be persecuted on every side. But we still have a treasure within us. And if you plug into your light supply, that treasure is protected. In a small, forgotten corner of a bustling city, there lived an elderly woman named Mrs. Thompson. Her little apartment, though cozy, was filled with a sense of melancholy. The paint on the walls were peeling, and the furniture bore the weight of years gone by. One cold winter, a mishap occurred. Mrs. Thompson accidentally knocked over her cherished porcelain pot from the shelf, shattering it into pieces. And tears welled in her eyes, for the pot had been a gift from her late husband, a reminder of their many happy years together. And distraught, she sat amidst the fragments, heavy heart with sorrow. Both as the morning sun filtered through her window, but through the window, a transformation had occurred. The broken pot shards caught the light, casting delicate patterns across the room. The sight was breathtaking. Mrs. Thompson, wiping away her tears, was captivated. At that moment, she saw the beauty that emerged from brokenness. The once bleak room now glowed radiant luminosity, casting a warm and inviting aura. Once symbols of loss the cracks in the pot became pathways for light. Inspired by Mrs. Thompson, gathering the pieces and carefully arranging them in a new way, she placed a small candle inside the reconstructed pot. And as the flame flickered to life, the room danced with a newfound brilliance. It was as if the very walls sang with joy. From that day on, Mrs. Thompson's apartment became a beacon of light in the neighborhood. People passing by would stop and marvel at the enchanting glow that spilled from her window. Word had spread, and neighbors soon sought solace in her home's tranquil radiance. Through the cracked pot, Mrs. Thompson discovered a profound truth. We often find unexpected beauty in our moments of brokenness. The fissures in our lives can be transformed into pathways for light, illuminating the world around us in ways we never imagined possible. And as so, Mrs. Thompson's once bleak abode became a living testimony to the resilience of the spirit and a reminder that even in our darkest hours, there is a radiant light within us, waiting to shine forth, casting a glow of hope and warmth for all to see. But the blessing of that light is that he places the light within us, that when we become the carriers of that source for someone else, then that person now can begin their quest to follow God. Here's the thing, and I'll put it more simply. You are maybe broken pots of clay this morning. You may be suffering with issues of depression. You may be suffering with rays of gleam turnover. But God knows that you are able to be lights to somebody else. God knows that if he can put a light in you, your cracked spots, those fissures that make us so worn out and weak, are able to transform our communities. Our children here needs to know something about being able to shine amidst broken pots. We are all vessels of clay. But there is something that is put on, and what I like about it is that God then gives us the opportunity to be the source for somebody else. He allows us to be the source. And there's one last part. If that was verses 7 through 12, we find now in verses 13 through 18, the eternal weight of glory. Paul's unwavering faith in the resurrection and the promise of eternal glory takes place at a time when people had just been reminded just how broken they are. And not only that, he then tells us sooner or later, we are going to have to die, whether it is a spiritual death or a physical death. There is still hope. Paul says, when everything else around you looks bleak, when everything else around you looks dim, when everything around you looks like it's gone wrong, there is still hope. There is hope because Christ has risen from the dead. And that same hope that he has placed in the world is now living inside of us. So we too can rise from our circumstances. We too can rise from our circumstances. We too can rise from our circumstances. It's an eternal weight of glory. So I want you then to imagine that there is a weight in front of us, a balance, if you would. And on one balance, on one side of it, there is our temporal and current circumstances. Our relationships, our friendships, our money, our wealth, our friends, our jobs. And sometimes all of that piled into one seems as if it's just hanging down. And on the other side, there is an eternal weight. It is a new hope. A hope that has been placed inside of broken vessels. And just let me reiterate, because you're sitting there like you may not understand what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to reiterate to you that that eternal weight, that eternal hope is in you. And just as long as you have confessed Christ, just as long as you believe that there is a God who's able to open doors and heal blinded eyes, as long as you believe that that God still exists, the weight starts to lean in the other direction. And this morning, I want you to find hope in that supply. How do we find hope? I'm so glad that you asked. I'm glad that you asked. Because over 2,000 years ago, when all had been extinguished in the land, it seems as if that day, darkness appeared twice, and Christ had been buried in a grave. All hope was lost. You know something about lost hope, don't you? And you know something about that story of a man who had come to bear our sins, a man who had come to do immeasurable things. This man had now been put into his grave, and the night draw to a close. One early Sunday morning, there was a beacon of light. The light shone over a grave that had been sealed, now open. But yet that man was no longer in the grave. Where was he? Well, I'll tell you where he is this morning before I go to my seat. I'm so glad that one Sunday afternoon, it was about 10 years ago, after I had begun preaching, that man showed up in a church. I was sitting in a choir stand. I was singing songs that I didn't know anything about. And that God showed a sunshine of hope over my life. And let me tell you how I felt. Whenever I felt his spirit within me, I began to cry. And I began to think about where God had brought me from. And maybe some of you here this morning had been thinking about that ray of sunshine that God had placed in your life. Maybe you had not begun to think about it, but you should. You should remember that he placed in you a source of light when you were dirty as you could be, when you were worth nothing. But yet God allowed you to be that source of light for somebody else. But it didn't stop there. He walks with me. Every single day, my God grabs me by the cradle of his hand and he holds me in the palm of his bosom. This morning, I just want to know if you know anything about that source of light. I want to know if you know something about that man who was able to change your life and able to clean you up. I want to know if you know anything about the man named Jesus. If you call on him, if you call on him, he'll change your life. If you call on him, he will make your hearts brand new. He will fix you up. He'll turn you around, not a 360, but a 180. And he will put you on a road called straight, just like he did for Paul on that road called Damascus. When Paul was blinded to the persecutions, his name was Saul, and he then was transformed by a light. He became a light. And so are we. This morning, we are the source of light. And as we go deeper into the Word of God, we must be that source for someone else. I know that we may have heard that story over and over. We may get tired of hearing about that Jesus. It was 2,000 years ago, for goodness sake. No, he still lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And if you ask me, how do you know he lives? because I'm a source. And this morning, we want to offer a source to somebody else. I want you to know that if you come, you can be made new, even if you are pots of clay. Excuse me, broken vessels. We still carry that light and that hope. So for somebody here this morning who is looking to be transformed, to be renewed, to start a relationship brand new with Christ, we offer Christ to you. Not only that, but maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe you're looking for somewhere to plug into, for people to pour into you, to love on you. We offer that Christ in a home for you here at Ebenezer. As our deacons and our ushers come, I want you to know that if you walk down the aisle, you're not walking by yourself. We stand across this altar to know, to let you know that we're waiting for you. Would you stand and come now, if that is you?
And don't you be afraid.
Sing B.O.P.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Troubles, they don't last always.
For there is a friend in Jesus.
For there's a friend in Jesus.
Would you come? Amen. God bless you,
brother.
He will
wipe your tears away.
He will wipe away your tears.
And if your heart,
if your heart is broken, come on now.
Just lift your hands and
say, church, I know that I can make it.
I know that I can make it.
And I know that I can stand.
I know that I can stand.
For his eye.
No matter what may come my way.
My life is in his
hands. My life is
in your hands. If you're here, would you come? Would you come? Oh,
with Jesus I can make it.
With Jesus I know that I can.
With him I know I can stand.
If you're here, would you
come? No matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands.
Yes.
I know that I can make it.
I know that I can stand. Amen.
I know that I can stand.
You may be seated where you are.
No matter what,
no matter what
may come my way.
My life is in his
hands. My life is in your hands.
Members of our young adults,
with
would you come?
Jesus, I can make it.
With Jesus, I know that I can.
With him, I know I can stand.
His eye.
No matter what may come my way.
My life is in
my
his
life hand. Is in your hands.
If you're joining us online via YouTube, please know that you can email us at ebc3austin.org, and we'll reach out to you. If this is the place for you, if you wish to be a member even virtually, or if you want to give your life to Christ, send us an email, and we would love to connect with you at belonging@ebc3austin.org. May God bless you.
I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand.
Encouraging
no matter what may come my way,
my life is in his hands.
My life is in your hands.
You can sing it, Ebenezer. With Jesus I can.
With Jesus I can make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Jesus.
With him I know I can stand.
Church, you sound good. With Jesus,
with him, I know I can stand.
No matter what,
no matter what may come my way.
My life is in his
hands. My life is in your hands.
With Jesus, I can make it.
With Jesus, I can make it.
Yeah, with Jesus, I know I can.
With him, I know I can stand.
No matter what.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for a mighty word. Thank God for our power and our light supply. We're going to hear from our clerk and ask this family to stand. Come stand right here, facing the church.
We have Minister Harry Watterson III coming as restoration. And we have Chantel Skies. She's coming under Christian Experience. And Imani and Gian Skies coming as candidates for baptism.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for this family. They have been coming for several Sundays, and we've been talking with them, and members of our church have been sharing with them and ministering to this family. And we thank God for bringing them forward today. Brother Watterson, Watterson, had been a member of Ebenezer. His family was a part of this church. Amen. And he's coming back for restoration of his membership. Amen. God bless you. And then we have, which one is Zion? Is it Guyan or Zion?
Zion.
And so you're coming to be baptized?
Yes.
You believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
All righty. And you, what's your name?
Imani.
Imani. And you're coming to be baptized also?
Yes.
And you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Bless these precious children. They were, they're going to be a part of our Stone Village. They were a part of our celebration, a week ago, and, I got a chance to meet them and know them and their mom. Tell us your name.
Chantel.
Chantel. And you're a Christian, right?
Yes.
And, you've already been baptized?
Yes.
Amen. And you just want to come and recommit your life to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Say amen, somebody. And this is your fiance, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes?
Yes.
That's what he told me. We're happy to have this this family unit come together to our church. And we pray that the Stone Village Ministry can be a ministry to these children and to these parents, and that we at Ebenezer can be a ministry to them. So Ebenezer, say amen for this family coming to join our church today. God bless you. You get back to-